Okay, this is Jody Stone interviewing Richard Pettit Cleveland, Jr. on June 3rd, 1987 at his home on Porter Street in Lakeville.
My name is Richard Pettit Cleveland, Jr. I was born August 9th, 1923 at Sharon Hospital. Pettit was the maiden name of my grandmother, Mrs. Peter Cleveland. My father was Richard Pettit Cleveland, who was born in 1895 and died in 1964. My mother was Lula Doyle, born 1894 and died in 1962. I had one brother, Hubert, born 1920 and died in 1971. My brother married Georgia Wilson from Millerton, New York, and they had eight children, Hubert Jr., Richard, James, John, Carol, Beverly, Mary, and Joseph. I have never married. From 1923 to 1927, we lived on Wells Hill in the house now owned by Dr. Fred Jabal. From 1927 to 1947, we lived on Sharon Road, Route 41, in a small house my father built. I can remember him digging the cellar with a team of horses pulling a scoop behind. There was no electricity on the road at that time, so we had kerosene lamps, no running water, or inside bathroom, or refrigeration. 1947 to 1949, I went to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to work as a journeyman electrician. I worked on several churches, hotels, condos, and large homes and restaurants there. From 1949 to 1965, I lived on Sharon Road. I sold this house in 1966 to my brother. I then moved in my home on Porter Street, which by working part-time on it, it had taken me 6 years to build. I'm still living in that house. I attended school in the two-room schoolhouse next to the Masonic Hall in Lakeville during the first grade. Miss Hazel Flynn was first grade teacher. Miss Lila Standard was second grade teacher. I then went to the grade school where the U.S. Post Office in Lakeville now stands. I attended second to sixth grade there. Mrs. Flynn, Miss Matheson, Miss Argo, Miss Sullivan, Miss O'Brien, and Miss Wilson were teachers there. Mr. Loring was principal. This was in 1929 to 1934. Then I went up on the hill to the Salisbury High School for the seventh grade through junior in high school. My senior year was spent at the Housatonic Valley Regional High School. This was 1939 to 1940. As I was only 16 years old when I graduated from high school, my father loaded me in the car and took me to Torrington to the Connecticut State Trade School. I enrolled in an electrical class and graduated from there after 4,800 hours of schooling. This was in 1943. There was no bus transportation to Torrington for students at that time, so I had a room in a private home on Mitchin Avenue while I was in school. My parents would pick me up every Friday night and take me back on Monday morning. World War II was in progress at the time I graduated. After several tries, I was rated 4F due to bad eyes and was not accepted by the services. I then went to work for Clinton Electric Company in Torrington. We did electrical work in defense plants in Litchfield County. Except for 2 years in Florida, I stayed with Clinton for over 20 years. I worked on several jobs, including the magnesium plant in Canaan, the wash and dry plant in Canaan, the Canaan Elementary School, B&D in Canaan, the Beer Memorial Hospital in Canaan, the Canaan Sewer Plant, the Salisbury Grade School, the Sharon Playhouse, the First National Store in Canaan, the Sharon Hospital, the Winston Hospital, the Winston Sewer Plant, Mechanic Savings Bank in Winston, the City Hall in Torrington, the Charlotte Hungerford Hospital in Torrington, the Connecticut Power Company buildings, and several Southern New England Telephone Company buildings. There many other factories and stores and schools and shopping centers in the area. I also worked at an oil refinery in St. John, New Brunswick in Canada for a few months in 1979. These are all union jobs as I was a member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers for 39 years. When I left Clinton Electric, I worked out of the Union Hall. There I worked on the Unioro Complex in Middlebury, Timex complex in Middlebury, the Southbury Shopping Plaza, Kent's Boys School, the Lamogo High School, the Naniwag High School, the Sheepog High School, and many other jobs. When I gave up the electrical trade and went to work at the sewer plant in Lakeville, where I retired in 1985, I gave up the electrical trade because of long travel time, living in rented rooms and eating out all the time, and I was getting too old to run up and down ladders all day. My father was a farmer in his youth. He worked on his father's farm on Town Hill. His father was Peter Cleveland. Then he self-taught himself to be a civil engineer and did surveying work for the C.H. Nickerson Company in Torrington. He also did carpentry work. During the beginning of the Depression, he had a forest crew stationed on Music Mountain. He had a Chevy rack body truck loaded with forest fire fighting equipment. 5 or 6 men would meet at our house every morning, get in the truck, and go to Music Mountain, where they made trails, picnic areas, cleaned up brush, and so forth. There was a phone there, and if there was a call for assistance at a grass, brush, or forest fire, they would shoot off a 6-inch firecracker, and the guys would come running, jump in the truck, and go fight the fire. This was paid for by the State Forest Commission. During the Depression, he got a job as a foreman at Camp Sloan in West Cornwall. This was a CCC camp. He got $25 a week there in room and board. He wasn't home only 4 days a month, but with that big money, we got electricity installed in the house, which meant we had running water, lights, a refrigerator, and an inside bathroom. He had to pay the power company to put the poles in from Hotchkiss Corner to the house. I believe it was $10 a month till the bill was paid. He stayed with the CCC till the closed Camp Cross and then came home to continue his carpentry trade. He had part-time projects also. He found time to raise chickens. We killed 200 broilers each week and got 200 chicks in, which meant we had about 1,000 chickens. He also sold cordwood. He bought the wood from the state, piled in 4-foot lengths. This wood was mostly on Music Mountain and Norfolk Mountain. Then we'd cut it up and deliver it for $8 a cord. Quite a few people never paid him, so he stopped doing that. The last year he did this, he sold 200 cord. When he retired from the carpentry trade, he sharpened saws for the carpenters. He would pick up the saws from construction jobs on Friday and return them all sharpened on Monday. He also did chisels, chainsaws, and circular saw blades. He did this till he became ill and passed away in 1964. My mother came to town as a maid for Professor George Krillman at Hotchkiss School. When he retired, she worked at the infirmary at Hotchkiss as a cook and maid under Dr. Harry Wheeler. She also went out evenings to people's homes around Hotchkiss to prepare meals, serve, and clean up afterwards. Most of the time, she would leave the house at 7 a.m. and not get home until 7:30 at night, all for a few dollars. Even though they worked hard and long, they found time to play cards with friends, go to Masonic and Eastern Star meetings, church activities, and have relatives and friends in for a meal or a party. I remember the following cars and trucks my parents owned. They were a Model T pickup, a Dodge pickup, an Essex sedan, a real Flying Cloud sedan, a real Speedwagon truck, a 31 Chevy sedan, a 35 Chevy sedan with a radio. It was the first radio we ever had in a car. A 37 Chevy sedan, a 1940 Buick sedan, and several small pickups. When I was 8 to 14 years old, I caddied at Hotchkiss Golf Course during the summer. We got 50 cents for 9 holes. I used the money to buy school clothes and a bicycle. I also caddied at the Cedar Hills Country Club on Long Pond. If we behaved ourselves, they would let us see the stage shows there in the evenings. I can remember seeing Eddie Cantor and Ben Burney and there, plus many musical stage shows direct from New York. During the winter, I used to walk up to Hotchkiss on Saturday nights to see the movie showing there. I was allowed to go there because my mother was employed there. Also during the winter, I'd gather wood so I could have fuel to use to boil down maple sap, which I gathered from the maple trees around the house. This was usually done in March when we had warm days and cold nights. While in grade school and high school, some of my classmates were, Doris Bontel, Trogan Dyke, Bernice Atkins, Ellen Zlata, Isabel Ostrander, Theola Whiting, Lillian Zlata, Larry Lawrence Perkins, James Litz, Harry Stanton, Sherwood Wright, William Folks, George Sherwood, Floyd Eggleston, Howard Parsons, Edward Tompkins, Helen Jeffries, Dorothy Gottliebson, Margaret Dempsey, Eleanor Smith, Lois Warner, Betty Bramer, Mary Hausman, Dorothy Marston, Peter Flynn, Edward Clark, Alfred Whiting, Edward Bramer, Clark Peterson. The Cleveland family has been in Lakeville since the late 1700s. The early lives of these people have been recorded for the Historical Society by Paul Cleveland and Lucille Murray. What I have narrated here has been a small addition to this history. I'm also presenting the Society with a partial genealogy of the Cleveland family from Lakeville. Thank you.
Okay, Dick, that's great. Thank you very much.